It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Why on earth these people insist on going there? I can't imagine. They won't like it. They would be much more comfortable staying here.
What? They like this place?
As much as they'd like anything.
With all the time one would have here, I believe I could still make something of him. Oh, he's not fit to be on his own. Put me in charge of him. He wants firm handling. After all, I know him better than you do. Give him to me. Do you hear? Don't consult him. Just give him to me. Well, I'm his wife, aren't I? Oh, it was only the beginning. No, there's still lots more that I still want to do with him. Please. Please. I'm so miserable. I simply must have someone to do things to.
Where you going?
Who are you?
The one who was sent for you.
For me?
I'm George.
I don't know you.
George MacDonald.
George MacDonald.
Ah.
Oh, the writer.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm... Pardon me, sir, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I've read everything you've ever written.
Oh, thank you.
And I must tell you this, your book Fantasties was an epiphany. My imagination was forever changed.
Oh, that's just why I'm here. I'm already well acquainted with the details of your life.
Then you can tell me. At least you won't deceive me. The ghosts. Do any of us stay? Can we stay? Is there really a way out of hell into heaven?
All right, Sandy Rios with you. If you like theater, live theater like I do, you are in for an absolute treat today. That's an excerpt from a live production of a production called known as The Great Divorce. It's an adaptation of a C.S. Lewis novel that was written in 1945. And the premise is fascinating. We'll get into that. But I wanted you to have a taste of live theater. And by the way, that particular production is coming to cities all over. Washington, D.C. coming up at the end of January. And so I've asked the creator of all of this, the brain trust, the guy that got this all started, Max McClain, to join us today. Max is an award-winning actor. He's the founder and artistic director of New York City-based Fellowship for Performing Arts. And Fellowship for Performing Arts is getting ready to start their 2020 spring tour. And the part that's really important on Max's bio that was not mentioned is that Max is a good friend. So, Max, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Great to be with you, Sandy. It's been a while. Thank you for having me.
It's my joy. And so, Max, give us an idea of where you're going to be. I mean, you don't have to give the dates yet because we'll have people go to, I think it's FPA. Your website.
Yeah. If you go to FPA Theater, probably the easiest website is cslewisonstage.com, cslewisonstage.com. Yeah, right now, you mentioned that I'm the Artistic Director for Fellowship for Performing Arts. We are a New York City-based theatrical production company that produces theater from a Christian worldview meant to engage a diverse audience. We don't perform in churches. We perform in major performing arts venues around the country. The idea is it's a really good way to engage your unbelieving friends about an imaginative, multi-layered view of Christian theology in a theatrical way that's not preachy, that's not pedantic. And over the next several months, we have a very extensive tour. We have a season in New York, which we begin on Wednesday with a modern retelling of John Milton's Paradise Lost. What you just heard, and that's running till the end of February here in New York, and what you just played on your radio is an excerpt from our production of C.S. Lewis's The Great Divorce, which has got a very extensive schedule. It begins next week in Charlotte, then it goes to D.C. for 2 weeks. It's in Pittsburgh, Dallas, Houston, Tulsa, Kansas City, Atlanta, L.A., all those places over the next few months. And you can find out about it on our website, cslewisonstage.com.
You know, Max, let me just weigh in, because as a person who loves, you know, as a former musician, I say former because I'm not, yeah, it is pretty much former. I'm a news person now, or commentator. But as a person who loves the arts, loves great music, loves great theater, and have, you know, I've been to tons of it, I want to just say that what Max just said about his productions is absolutely true. In fact, he probably understated it. Now, I don't mean to offend any of you church artists at all by this next comment, but I would say that generally speaking, when we go to see something in our churches, we've got some great talent, but it's not generally like the talent we see on stage in New York or Chicago. We don't expect the scripts to be as strong. We don't expect the actors to be as strong. But Max's whole vision for Fellowship for the Performing Arts, among other things, is excellence. And really, there is no distinguishable difference between his productions and anything that you would see in Broadway. It's just first class in every way. And the thing that gives it even more power, of course, is the message. Max, was your first personal solo performance on stage in this way, the Gospel of Mark? Is that the first
time? That's right. We did the Mark's Gospel, and we did the Book of Genesis. Both were really wonderful. In fact, I want to revisit them in 2021, because it's been a while since we've done them. But I think we met as a result of either Mark or Genesis in Chicago in the 90s.
It's been a long time, but it was wonderful. And it's been enriching for me, Max. So you live in New York City and you travel all over the country. That's just a totally different way of life that most people have. But I want to talk to you about your own personal life just for a second, for fun. I'm sure I've asked you this, but I don't remember the answer. At what point in your life did you figure out, you know what, I'm a pretty good actor? What was that moment?
I might have shared this with you. I didn't have any involvement with theater until my senior year of college. I had an experience that drew me to take an oral interpretation class, and the bug bit in my senior year. Spent my whole senior year in the theater, the weird part of campus, the theater department. I was at the University of Texas at Austin. I learned to use my voice, a lot of movement, how to interpret scripts, and then went to graduate school in London for theater, came back to New York. So I felt the call. I mean, you know, I wasn't a Christian. I'm an adult convert, so I came to faith in Jesus about a year or a little bit more than a year after I made a commitment to become an actor, to pursue that as a profession. And what's interesting is that, I wasn't raised in the church, so I didn't get the memo that Christians weren't supposed to be actors. In those days, that was pretty true. But I had experienced the power of the gospel, which was new to me. I knew the power of arts, storytelling, and theater to touch people deeply. And so an idea emerged in my mind probably in my 20s, but it took a long time for it to be realized. How do you integrate my newfound faith with the work that I've been called to do? And over the course of time meeting a lot of people, including yourself, Sandy, with a kind of encouragement. I mean, the power of encouragement is really strong to pursue this. It has become a reality, which I'm just so grateful to God for.
Let me also say that in terms of your acting, you have, as we said, done a one-man show of Mark's gospel. You played Mark. You were the storyteller in the stage production of Genesis. You played Screwtape, who is, that's another book by C.S. Lewis, and that is actually the devil. You played him in Screwtape, and you played C.S. Lewis in The Most Reluctant Convert. And I think, right, I've seen you in almost all of those. I would be curious to know, Max, when you became a Christian, and I guess, again, you said you were naive, so you didn't realize what that would mean to your career. Was there ever kind of a light that went on and you said to yourself, this might change things, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I have aspirations for theater, really good theater, and what am I going to do about those faith compromises or behavior compromises or hoops that you have to jump through in order to be successful? Was there a moment like that for you?
Yes. You know, the Holy Spirit's always speaking, and we're responsible to listen. And he's always, you know, he's convicting. And so in my 20s, I thought I was pursuing a theatrical career in New York. And I came to the conclusion that being an actor was kind of like being a hired hand. You know, your job is to brilliantly communicate other people's ideas as best you can, whether you agree with them or not. So the ability was, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Oh, sure, I can do that. So, but it was really weighing heavily on my conscience. So I came to the conclusion that I couldn't serve two masters. And I decided to leave the professional theater. And I did for a while. It was, you know, really painful because it was, you know, my identity was part of, was associated there. But in time, the Lord gave it back. And what happened was the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and with the encouragement of other believers, why don't you use the skills and techniques you developed in the theater and apply it to presenting the Bible? And that's how Mark's gospel began and how Genesis began. And then what was interesting is that we started doing them in secular settings. And when we did a production of Mark's gospel in Chicago around 2009, I think it was, the Jeff Committee, which is the highest honor in Chicago theater, gave that production and performance the Jeff Award, which is the highest honor you can get in Chicago theater. So it made me realize that this work has huge cross-cultural appeal, primarily because if you go to the theater, the kind of storytelling that's happening, it's super well executed. But the stories are bland and the stories are dark, or they're just silly. So the kind of depth and imaginative multi-layered insight that is really the Christian witness is missing. So we felt we had an opportunity.
And you did, and you took it. And oh my goodness, I cannot believe myself as I've watched through the years this thing grow into the entity that it is now, so much so that the spring tour is coming up. They'll be coming into a city near you for sure. You can go to cslewisonstage.org and find out more. cslewisonstage.com. And when we come back, I would really like to know, Max, how it affected you to play the devil. I know that may sound like a silly question, but I really want to know that because you played it so effectively. It was a little creepy. But anyway, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll have more conversation with Max McLean about the Fellowship for Performing Arts and their performances coming to a city near you. We'll be right back.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We must use it to promote a desirable marriage. In the meantime,
Let me describe to you the type of woman, I mean the physical type, he should be encouraged to fall in love with. Now, this question has been answered for us by spirits far deeper down the lower archy than you and I. Oh, it is the business of these great masters to produce in every age a misdirection in what may be called sexual taste. This they do by working through the small circle of popular artists, designers, and actresses who determine the fashionable type. The aim is to guide your patient away from those with whom spiritually healthy, happy, and fertile marriages are most likely. At one time, we directed the male taste to the statuesque, aristocratic beauty, mixing men's vanity with their desires. At another, we selected an exaggeratedly feminine type, faint, languishing, so that folly, cowardice, and general falseness were at premium. At present, we're on the opposite tact. We now teach men to like women whose bodies are scarcely distinguishable from those of boys. This type of beauty is more transitory than most, aggravating the female's chronic horror of growing old, with many excellent results. We have also engineered a great increase in the exhibition of the nude. Oh, it is all fake, of course. The figures are falsely drawn, made to appear firmer and more slender than a full-grown woman has a right to be.
Now, that was the voice of Screwtape. That is a.k.a. the devil, taken from C.S. Lewis's novels, The Screwtape Letters, and that is one of the productions that Fellowship for the Performing Arts is putting on in their spring productions. And Max McLean is the founder and the artistic director of Fellowship for Performing Arts, was Screwtape. I think you have other Screwtapes now, don't you, Max?
Yes. I've been playing C.S. Lewis, The Most Reluctant Convert, mostly on university campuses. Brent Harris, who played Scar in The Lion King, is now playing Screwtape. He's been playing it on and off since 2013.
Wow.
And does a superb job. It was the interesting thing about playing Screwtape is it's pretty easy to imagine ourselves worse than we are. It's harder to imagine ourselves better than we are. I mean, I think that's a little bit more, at least in a literary sense. You know, it's more like stop doing this for making ourselves better, but in terms of making ourselves worse, it's about doing things. And of course, Screwtape, you know, loved to ruin people's lives. In fact, that was his job. And in order to get into that mindset, it was entertaining for a while, but it didn't last. And I remember what Lewis said about his experience. And of course, his experience was different than mine because he wrote it. And he wrote it as a kind of from an autobiographical place. You know, he was expressing his own battles with temptation because he felt like that his writing would be stronger if he wrote about things that he was himself struggling with and wrote about it with great clarity and openness. And so the Screwtape Letters is in many ways Lewis's own battles with temptation. He wrote that he never wrote anything more easily, but with less enjoyment, but never wrote anything with less enjoyment. He thought, though he said it was easy to twist one's mind into the diabolical attitude, it wasn't fun, or at least not for long. The work into which I had to project myself while I spoke through Screwtape was all dust and grit, thirst and itch. Every trace of beauty, freshness, geniality had to be excluded. And so that was the personality of Screwtape. And it does get to be wearing emotionally. So it's certainly not my favorite role that I've played.
Yeah, I can certainly understand. And let me just say about Screwtape, This is probably true of all of your productions, that you almost have to see it. You have to see it several times. And every time you see it, you pick up more and more things. I'll never forget one thing that I still rings in my head, Max, is that monologue when you're talking about undulation. Undulation.
Yeah. Undulation, right.
Yeah.
The emotional ups and downs that we go to, which is, you know, normal in life, but can be used for diabolical purposes. And of course, you know, what Lewis was getting at, Lewis was a teacher, and he understood in order to reach his audience, he had to be compelling. He had to engage at a deep level. And so what he did with Screwtape, and he was a genius with it, in order to get normal human beings like you and me to understand the reality of spiritual warfare, he created an environment, a world that is, an inverse world, morally an inverse universe, where good is bad and up is down, and God is called the enemy, and Lucifer, Satan, is called our father below. And then all of a sudden, you're able to see spiritual warfare from the devil's point of view. And there's a clarity there. And of course, what Lewis is trying to do with Screwtape is follow St. Paul when he says that we must not be ignorant of the devil's schemes. You know, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. So all of a sudden with Screwtape, and I think this is something that even in books like Mere Christianity, where, you know, Lewis was also an adult convert to Christianity, and he said what really turned him, or at least one of the things that turned him, is that when he read the New Testament seriously, it talks so much about a dark power in the universe, a power behind death, disease, and sin, and that Christianity thinks this dark power was made good and went bad, and Christianity tells us that the universe is at war, to civil war, a rebellion, and that we on Earth are living in a part of the universe that's occupied by the rebel power. And of course, we see that everywhere. And so what Lewis does is he gives us just an imaginative, engaging picture that allows people like yourself, you know, to really see yourself in a way that you would ordinarily not.
All right, Max, let me just say, Max McLean is the founder of Fellowship for Performing Arts, and they're getting ready for their spring tour. And great, the Screwtape Letters is just one of several productions they're doing. They'll be in New York City, Tampa, Charlotte, Fort Lauderdale, Washington, D.C., Santa Barbara, California, Palm Springs, California, Birmingham, Alabama, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Dallas, Houston, and lots of others, Chicago, Colorado Springs, Ann Arbor, Michigan. We could go on. Tulsa. So you'll have to go on the cslewisonstage.com and find out where they're coming. Any of these productions are phenomenal. Really, they are. And again, I recommend you go more than once because I think you'll enjoy it even better the second and third time. It's cslewisonstage.com. Max, fascinating stuff about Screwtape Letters, but equally fascinating, the production that you're getting ready to do in D.C. at the about 10 days from now, and that is The Great Divorce. And I had never really understood until I read it this morning how The Great Divorce came about, and it was a response to a writer of Lewis's time. Can you tell us about that, what the premise is there?
Yeah, it's so interesting because the title is strange, The Great Divorce. What is the divorce about? What happened in the title was that Lewis, when he submitted the manuscript to his publisher, he submitted the title "Who Goes Home," and home being heaven or hell, either one. And the publisher said, "Well, that title is taken. Can you come up with another one?" And I suppose that Lewis was reading Blake, William Blake, who was an 18th century mystic. and also an artist of tremendous ability. And Blake wrote a book called The Marriage of Heaven and Hell. And Lewis wanted to write about their divorce, that heaven and hell are not married, they're divorced. And the idea of a marriage is something that we see in our culture very prominently. It's that the distinction between good and evil will somehow coalesce, that there'll be a merger, a marriage. And so the ultimately what that means is you'll be completely free to do what you want. There'll be no real consequences. All excuses will be accepted. And that reality never presents us with a real either or choice. And Lewis saw this as an absolutely disastrous idea. And, he says, we cannot take all of our luggage on all of our journeys. We have to make choices. Choices matter in life. They're embedded in the universe, embedded in all religions, and our choices change us, change our character, that so that we're slowly becoming, because of our choices, our everyday choices, and the thousands of them we make on a weekly, monthly, annually, lifetime basis, that we're slowly turning ourselves from either a heavenly creature, a more heavenly creature, or a hellish creature.
Max, let me interject something, because in this production, you have all right, but this is the way you present this. You've got these people on a bus, and they're what, traveling from hell to heaven? Is that right?
Yeah, they're people that the narrator, who's a stand-in for Lewis, and Lewis is always talking about his own spiritual conversion and what was the challenge from it, and this was part of it. So in this way, this is also autobiographical. Lewis had a kind of a dream that he was in a place called the Gray Town, which is his metaphor for hell. And he meets people on a bus, and they're all bickering, really can't stand each other on a bus. And they're waiting for this bus to take them to the outskirts of heaven. And the bus is Lewis's metaphor for the offer of salvation. And though it's not really clear, but Jesus is the bus driver. And when they get to heaven, they find that the world is very substantial. It's very hard, in the sense of the grass is hits their feet like diamonds. And they're so unsubstantial. They're such inconsequential. They're ghosts. And then spirits who knew them on earth, people who knew them on earth, who made the choice to go to heaven, meet them and try to convince them to stay. But they have to thicken up. They have to become more mature. And the metaphor here, it's also about spiritual warfare, of how the Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience and we resist it. So it's actually the flip side of the Screwtape story. On Screwtape, you have temptations to do evil, and in The Great Divorce, you have resistance to following your conscience or the designs of the Holy Spirit to move you ever forward, to press on toward the goal, to win the prize to which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus.
And when they get
the story,
go ahead.
The story, most of the people they try to defend themselves. They try to argue for they want their rights, and there's reasons for why they do what they do. And they all say, no, we can't stay, except for one person. One person decides to stay. Everybody else decides to get back on the bus and go back to the Gray Town so they can live their miserable existence, because, like John Milton, they would rather, like Lucifer and John Milton says, they would rather rule in hell than serve in heaven.
So it's fascinating. I have to say it's fascinating. There are humorous moments. You heard a clip earlier that we played from the stage play. As we said earlier, Max, it's been your goal from the very beginning to appeal to a broad audience, a secular audience, preferably, really. And so let me read a bit about what these papers around the world are saying about you. Dallas Morning News referred to The Great Divorce as, this acclaimed production is Lewis at his imaginative best. The New York Times calls it infinitely thought-provoking, consistently intriguing. The Washington Post was recommended by Washington Post with reviewer Nelson Presley, calling it a faithful adaptation, striking vignettes packaged into a tidy, brightly designed 85-minute show. I think I was there in D.C. when that was performed in 2014, and it was amazing to get that kind of review from Washington Post. So I just wanted to prove the point, Max, that you are doing a great job of mainstreaming these fabulous productions in a way that all kinds of theater goers can find it fascinating and challenging wherever they are in life, as Christians or as non-believers, or as agnostics or atheists. My guest is Max McLean, and he's the founder of the Fellowship for Performing Arts, and he's an actor, of course, and many of you know him because he has a long-standing recording of the books of the Bible that many of you listen to all the time. That's how you know his voice, in case you had forgotten. All right, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the Morning. Max will be back with me. We have one final segment. We're going to talk about the people that he's brought into these productions and what's been the result of that. What's the tangible result of all of these productions going out in the way that they have? Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared. In season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
That was the voice of Max McLean, and that's how many of you know about Max. He recorded the audio the Listener's Bible, and for that he won 4 awards from the Audio Publishers Association. Max, something funny. In my Sunday school class this past Sunday, not once but twice, people that were reading their Bible on their phones, your voice kicked in. And suddenly, Max McLean was in my Sunday school class. It was actually pretty funny. But that's how, honestly, I don't have to tell you how valuable a tool it has been for a man like you who really does know Jesus. You don't just have a great voice and read beautifully. You actually have a connection with the Savior. So that's what makes your recording so powerful. So thank you for that. And if you just tuned in, Max is the founder of the Fellowship for Performing Arts. He's also an actor and has adapted several C.S. Lewis plays, but he's also got Paradise Lost coming out this spring and many other things. And they will be in a city near you. All right, let me just say, all over the place. So if you go to cslewisonstage.com, cslewisonstage.com, you can find out where they're going to be near you. Any of these productions will be great. The other thing is you can get a group together and get a group tickets for a little bit of a discount. So that's cslewisonstage.com. Max, we've teased before that you have a ton of people working with you now you didn't find in Sunday school. You know, they are on the stage involved in. So give us an idea of the kinds of people that you're pulling in.
Well, just looking at this Paradise Lost production here in New York, we have several Tony nominees in the cast and in the creative team, many Broadway veterans that are there to help tell the story. When you do work like I do, to create a successful theater company in a competitive entertainment environment, that's a challenge anywhere. And then to make it known that you're creating within a Christian ethos, particularly in the New York theater community, that increases the challenge exponentially. And then to do it in ways that engages a diverse audience, you know, that's really, really hard. But that's our calling. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And of course, to do this work in a culture that's increasingly hostile to Christianity. I mean, the hostility in the last 12 to 15 years has really grown. And when you live in a place like New York, you and you're in the arts community, you really, really feel it. So it's so important for us to put forth a vision of Christ and Christianity through artistic expression that's imaginative, multi-layered, that offers a counterpoint to the prevailing worldview. And what we do is we try to engage people's imagination, because the imagination serves as the raw material of what we think about. You know, if an idea doesn't capture your imagination, it's not going to challenge assumptions, which is the first step toward any kind of change. And we think that art and theater gives us a little bit more wiggle room to do that, that we can say things that one couldn't otherwise say in this culture about God, about the gospel, about the reality of the devil, about the divinity of Christ, within an engaging theatrical experience that's not without being preachy or pedantic. So it's really important that we're there. And because we do that, you know, some of the artists that work with us, I mean, I have a theory that it's actually a principle that those who know how will always work for those who know why. So I want to be sure that I'm the why person, and we hire the best how people to do the work. And of course, New York theater people can be certainly hard bitten a lot. You know, when it comes to religion, they usually have either no religious background or a distant one that many of them view as unpleasant, or it's been negotiated to a point that, you know, it's no longer even clear what it is. And yet I hear, like, our award-winning composer, you know, who does won many, many awards all over the city. He said to me the other day that working with FDA is the most meaningful work that he's done the past several years. Actually, he asked me to pray for his dad just a couple of days ago. You know, that's something that wouldn't ordinarily do. One of our executive producer has come to faith in Christ through our work, particularly the work of Most Reluctant Convert.
Wow.
another actor was pursuing seminary as a result of our work. You know, but the thing is, and then the audiences, of course, that's really who it's for. You know, we get a lot of critical responses. You know, one critic described FPA as I'm just reading this here, a unique company devoted to Christian theater for secular audiences. That's no easy thing. Even a Jewish atheist such as yours truly can find their stuff worthwhile. Seeing, discussing, and even recommending. Nothing proselytizes as effectively as a good show that does not proselytize, so he says.
Wow.
Time Out New York says it calls us a genuine curiosity, unabashed Christian theater tackling weighty moral issues. Theater Mania, FDA offers something sorely missing in the New York theater for far too long, high-quality, challenging theater from a Christian perspective. So,
you know what,
this is,
Max,
this is what happens, and then, you know, audience members tell us how the play affects them. We want it to be entertaining. Our feeling is, if it's not entertaining, it probably won't be very effective. Harold Clurman, the dean of the American Theater, said, make them laugh. And while their mouths are open, pour truth in. That's something I totally believe.
I just want to say something, Max. I just want to make a marker here, because while you're reading those reviews and comments by people who don't necessarily share a faith, probably do not, many hostile as you, one that you particularly read, and some that I read earlier, that in itself is a drop-dead miracle. I mean, I deal with the media all the time in a different way. You know, I do news and politics every day, and it's almost a constant drumbeat.
I've seen you on Bill Maher.
Yes, you have.
Oh, I know. You've been in the Lions.
Yes, but it's so remarkable that you should get accolades from people who, generally speaking, are hostile to our faith. It's just amazing to me, so I just wanted to lay that marker down. And I want to ask, when you were in Chicago, you would do Q&A after the productions. Mm-hmm. We started doing that a little bit, and I had the privilege of being with you doing that. But are you still doing that, or is...
Oh, yeah. That's actually become one of our markers, our kind of the uniqueness of our work is that we like to hear from the audience, because audiences want to talk about it. You know, they just had a pretty cathartic experience, and they want to kind of hear what other people are feeling and what see if their feelings are being reinforced, want to share their thoughts. And particularly on college campuses, I love doing it there. It's something that's really special. Sometimes it's nerve-wracking because you just don't know what people are going to say. And you have to be prepared. But most of the time, it's just incredibly rewarding.
Let's talk about that university tour, because I have a list here. I just want to give people an idea of where you're going. Columbia, which, are you kidding me? Columbia, Brown, Princeton. I could say, are you kidding me, on almost all these. UC Berkeley, UNC Chapel Hill, UT Austin, Duke, Vanderbilt, Penn, and UVA, among others. I mean, I don't know how you even made that happen, given the hostility on college campuses. Can you give us some insight?
What it is that there's really, how should I put it, the Christian ministries on campus work very hard. They're in some ways an isolated minority, and in some campuses are stronger than others. But we had a terrific event at Penn. You know, we had 900 people at Penn. At Berkeley, we had 1,500 people.
Are you kidding me?
So this was, we promote it as an imaginative C.S. Lewis. You know, C.S. Lewis is coming to Berkeley. C.S. Lewis is coming to Penn. And we're telling his conversion story. And the story is, I think what's compelling is Lewis... His conversion happened during his college years, and he is asking the questions that students want to ask and have answered, at least to have dialogue about. And because you're not supposed to talk about, numinal things on campus, it feels like there's a whole conversation that can't happen in public. And so to have a public event where this is the topic and it's done in a theatrical way, which, takes away this sense of you're engaged. It's a theatrical event. So it's much more like going to see a movie as opposed to going to see a lecture or a debate. And so it hits people in a much more evocative place, as opposed to a place where, okay, I don't believe that, I'm going to argue this, I'm going to argue that. It's just they're going to receive it.
And the question
that emerges is, could this be true?
Is the one that you used in the most reluctant convert, the story of his conversion, C.S. Lewis's conversion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. From atheism to faith, yeah.
Wow. So do you have a bunch of those? I mean, do you have more of those scheduled?
Yeah, we've got, right now, if you look at our calendar, we're going to be at Northwestern, at the University of Michigan, and at Rutgers in the next 2 months.
Wow. Well, all right. If you want to know where Fellowship for Performing Arts is doing any of their productions, whether they're on college or on regular stage in New York City and Tampa and Charlotte and Fort Lauderdale and Santa Barbara and Palm Springs and Pittsburgh and St. Louis and Chicago, and I can't do the whole list, but just everywhere, Texas, then you need to go to cslewisonstage.com, cslewisonstage.com. I can tell you that you will laugh and you will think. I guarantee you, you will think. And for all of us, that's a great exercise and provokes, I think, Christians to sharpen their thinking skills and their commitment. I think certainly Screwtape was really good at doing that, but so was The Great Divorce. Max, I'm curious, you know, you've developed a lot of things. You did a Martin Luther play. You're getting ready to do Paradise Lost. Is there something else, you know, that one thing that you would really love to do? It could even be out of the scope of this genre. What would that be? And there's the music.
Well,
so we only have 30 seconds.
We began this conversation at some point talking about how I began with Mark and Genesis. And of course, when I began, I didn't have the resources that I have now to create
20 seconds, Max.
And to be able to go back to the beginning and tell these great Bible stories with the kind of talent resource we have now would be a tremendous way to end my career.
Yeah, well, we will pray to that end, Max. And listen, God bless you and good luck with this. And then, by the way, those of you listening, you have to go. It's cslewisonstage.com, cslewisonstage.com. Max McLean has been my guest. You can find so many things that Max has done through the years to enrich your life. So go forth and do that. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.